Welcome back. It's Deb Hutton, your guest host for this afternoon, with you until 6 o'clock. Right now, it is that time of day where we're joined by some of our pundits and experts to break down the biggest stories of the day. Today, it's John Tory, former mayor of Toronto, and Aaron Morrison, longtime political strategist, and now principal at Morrison Comms. And we are going to start with the biggest story of the day, and that is the federal budget started to be read in the House of Commons less than just over half an hour ago now by Chrystia Freeland. We know a few things in the last little bit. Spending, which we thought was going to be up about $40 billion, is in fact up $52.9 billion. They are continuing to post a deficit this year of about $40 billion, so there doesn't seem to be a change. You ask yourself, so how is that possible? Well, there's new taxes. $19 billion in new revenue by changing the way capital gains are taxed in this province. And an additional little bit of money, a couple of billion dollars plus, maybe $3 billion, coming from, in part, higher capital gains. Obviously, as I mentioned, the $19 billion, but a hike to excise taxes on cigarettes and vaping products. So we are back to the old days of sin taxes. John Tory, going to start with you. Get your general take on what you've heard in the budget over the last half hour.
Well, I guess, Deb, I would put it under the heading of it could have been worse, because I think there was widespread speculation there would be a tax that would affect a lot more people. I think this capital gains inclusion increase, simply meaning that you'll pay a tax on more of any capital gain you make selling real estate or stocks or anything like that, is going to, as they said, and so I guess in that sense, they were true to their word, it's going to affect a very small number of people. That's the sort of the, I guess I'll call it, quote unquote, good news. The bad news is those are people who invest. And right now, if we want to improve the state of our economy, if we want there to be confidence in Canadian businesses and so on, those people will be, to some extent, hindered from investing. It will send a negative signal around the world about Canada as a place to invest. It will make it harder for us to attract smart people to come here. So it could have been worse on that account, though, on taxes, where, it's a very small number of people that are affected. It could have been worse on the spending in the sense that the size of the deficit relative to the economy is going down ever so slightly. But the fact is, it's not really going down. If you look at the projections, the deficit is 40, 39, 38, and 30 billion for the next 4 years, which means it's really staying the same. And the debt charges are going from up to, I think, about $60 billion, 10% of all the money taken in, more than is transferred to the provinces. So, it's one of those things where, it could have been worse, but it's not going to be something that's received with great acclaim by just about anybody, because I think a lot of the housing commitments are things people can't see with their eyes, and therefore their eyes glaze over because the amounts sound very big and it all sounds encouraging, but they won't see any houses.
Aaron Morrison, your general take on what you heard.
I think my general take is that this is not going to be enough to save Justin Trudeau. He's going to continue to slide in the polls. I have to disagree with John a little bit. We see the corporate tax rate staying stagnant in this budget, whereas in the U.S., the corporate tax rate is going from 21 up to 28 points under Joe Biden. Ours was lowered down to 15 under the previous conservative government. So I think that's where the government should have been looking, as opposed to, the sort of tinkering around the edges with capital gains in terms of income. My first impression of the budget is that all of the things that I like about it are the things that make life more affordable for families. That's free contraception for 9 million people, free diabetes medication for 3.7 million people, the start of the school meal program so that families don't have to buy and pack a lunch for your kids every day, the youth mental health fund. There's some things here that make life more affordable, but every single one of them is a Jagmeet Singh proposal that Justin Trudeau was forced to do. I'm not seeing a single thing from the Liberals that's making me think, yes, there's life in them still.
But Deb, that's probably all true. And I actually think all those things will help some families across the country. The question really is, are all of these things sustainable? Because if you look at a lot of the spending promises that were made today, a lot of it is what we would call in in the political business, back end loaded. So the spending is spread out over a number of years and it goes up in the latter years. It's like the sort of always good news projections that you have looking out into the future. Things always get better. But it's all based on economic growth of, I think, around 1%. And, you know, if our economy continues to only grow at that rate, then we are going to have even bigger problems down the road. And look, I know contraception and school lunch programs will help a lot of families. And so in that sense, you want to be supportive of it. But, you know, we have to answer the question, how are we going to pay for this? And you can't continue to pay for it with borrowed money, which is what's going on here. And as you heard me mention a moment ago, the borrowed money, just the interest on the borrowed money, not the borrowed money itself, the interest on the borrowed money goes from, I think, around $50 to $60 billion a year, more than all the money that is transferred to the provinces every year. And that's going to be the single biggest item before too long. And it's just not sustainable. It's not sustainable for our kids and grandkids, let alone, you know, for people living today.
Yeah. Oh, I think the evidence in other, sorry, Dev, the evidence in other large countries doesn't bear that out, right? In Australia, when they switched to a pharmacare plan, it was expensive for the first couple of years and then actually got more affordable because bulk buying for everybody instead of just for public servants actually lowers the price. But look, if you want to find some money, that corporate tax that the previous conservative government lowered, it's basically a subsidy, that's worth $60 billion. The grocery cartel isn't going to feel any pain from this budget. They go on getting whatever they want and gouging the rest of us. Foreign investors certainly don't hurt in this budget. So I think there's other places that we could have found affordability for family and more income from the government, for the country, without digging into the pockets of everyday families.
I'm enjoying this debate very much, Deb, but I would just point out that, first of all, if we don't have competitive corporate tax rates, and right now we're in around the same range as where the U.S. is, plus or minus, that will discourage people from investing in Canada. And people always think that corporations somehow are going to suffer from these, you know, let's tax those greedy corporations. They only have three ways of paying that tax. One is to raise prices, which we do not need right now. The second is to reduce wages or the number of people working in the company. And the third is to reduce the dividends. And people say, oh, yeah, that's the one, because it's all those dividends are all paid out to rich people. They're paid out to your RRSP and to people's pension plans. That's where those dividends go. So, you know, in the end, you can talk all you want about taxing corporations and greedy corporations and so on. If they are forced to do business elsewhere, invest in other countries, we will pay for that in lost jobs and in growth in this country. And we need more of that growth and more innovation and more investment in Canada, not less.
100%. And I'm not enjoying this debate because I feel like as host, I should let you guys talk. But man, I got to say to you, Aaron Morrison, I should not have a school lunch packed and paid for my children. I shouldn't. That is absolutely irresponsible to think that I am not responsible with a middle-class income for feeding my children at school. I just had to say that. Let's talk a little bit about the politics of it. Aaron, you started to get into that, so I'll go back to you on that. You said this is nothing really from the Liberals that show that they're alive and well. They're obviously targeting millennials and a younger generation, which you could argue is how Justin Trudeau got elected in the first place. Do you think that piece of it will work? Will people in that voting bracket actually think, hey, this is my guy?
I don't. And I think not, because we're not seeing anything real here on housing. There's one small program. Well, there's two small programs on housing that the Liberals had announced previously in the last couple of weeks that I think are a little bit useful. One is allowing young people to, get some credit to their, credit to their credit score by paying their rent on time. And the other is, some tinkering around the Renters' Bill of Rights. But ultimately, I think this does not make it cheaper to rent, and it does not make it easier to buy. And for young people, I think that is that's the whole deal right now. And a government that doesn't understand that young people are living five and six roommates in one apartment, they are putting off. Young couples are putting off having a baby that they want because they cannot afford a second bedroom. I mean, if you as a government cannot wrap your head around that, then you are not getting the votes of young people. So I think what's going to happen in the days ahead is that the Liberals will use this budget on tour for earned media, but they're also going to sink a few million dollars into advertisements to pump up this budget, tell everybody about it, tell everybody about the things that are in it. And if, you know, 8 weeks or so from now, we don't see serious movement in the polls, then I think the Liberals have to do some very serious contemplation about the future of their leader and their party. But do they know that today? No, I certainly don't think so.
John, I'm going to ask you the same question when we come back after the break. John Tory, former mayor of Toronto, and Aaron Morrison, longtime political strategist and now principal at Morrison Carms. They are our smart speakers talking federal budget. Welcome back. Thanks so much for joining us. It's Deb Hutton, your guest host this afternoon on Federal Budget Afternoon. Finance Minister delivered the 2024-25 budget just under an hour ago. She has finished speaking in the House of Commons, and we are discussing what's in it and what that means for you and me and the future leadership of this country with John Tory, who's the former mayor of Toronto, and Aaron Morrison, longtime political strategist and now principal at Morrison Comms. John, just before we took a break for traffic, I was asking Aaron sort of about the political messaging and what this actually means to Trudeau, and would love your thoughts on that as well. There's no doubt that they are targeting, and they repeat it over and over and over again, millennials and Gen Z in some of their policies. Your thoughts on whether that's likely to be effective?
Well, I largely agree, unlike the previous part of the debate with Aaron on this one, in that I think the problem here is that the things that are irritating people, the failure to be able to find a home to rent or buy, and you know, things like that, are not likely to be made more visible in the short term to the people who are most aggravated by that. And that includes their parents too, the young people that they're aiming at, but also the parents who are very concerned about this, both because they have people living at home sometimes that they maybe would rather, they love their kids, but maybe it's time to move on, or just because they're worried about their kids' future. So I think some of the things that we talked about earlier on, the lunch program and the contraception and the new disability credit, although I heard Mr. Singh saying that it's not enough, but these are all things that will be, you know, a good start or a start on some of the things that people will be looking for. But I just am not sure that the materialization of these things will be immediate enough to change politics. I think they've tried their best. I mean, and I could be critical of it that there, you know, the spending's going up too much and the deficit is not coming down at all, and that some of these tax changes are going to be counterproductive to a growing economy. But at the end of the day, if you look at it in political terms, which was your question, they've tried their best to show activity and action, regardless of who gets the credit, frankly. You know, NDP, Liberal, doesn't matter to people. And I think it'll remain to be seen whether people are convinced this is the best shot any government could take, including any other government that was in office, or not. And I just am doubtful that it'll have enough material effect in front of people's eyes to change things. But we'll see. It's never too late in politics.
Well, and I guess my question on this is, there is no doubt that Trudeau's main competitor is not the NDP. It is Pierre Poilievre and the Conservatives. And so there is, for me as a Conservative, and I recognize, John, you'll know this very well, I'm a little bit further right than some people, but there's nothing in
most.
It. Okay. I'll take that.
Just kidding, sort of, Deb, but that's okay.
Well, no, I actually was going to say thanks for the compliment, but anyhow.
Okay.
But there's nothing in there for someone who might be a liberal conservative switcher to say, hey, maybe he understands what I'm going through. For me, I referred to it this morning, and I say it again, having seen now all the details, Aaron Morrison, this is an NDP budget.
It is a glimpse of what an NDP budget could be. It's that glimpse of what happens when we start spending on people instead of spending on, you know, sort of trickle down, well, we'll invest in the economy and hope that it ends up in people's pockets. But it's not an NDP budget. And the reason it's not an NDP budget is because it's just not big thinking enough, and it does not take on any of the corporations that are not paying their fair share. We are still seeing very large subsidies to oil corporations. We're still seeing, I take John's point about competitiveness in the corporate sphere very seriously. It is important. But we're talking about a tax rate that is going to be 15 in Canada compared to 28 in the US. That's a pretty big disparity. So this is not an NDP budget. It gives you a glimpse of the sort of thing the NDP would do in terms of pharma care, dental care. I think too that ultimately, this is a budget that like Trudeau is going to have to pick and choose what he's going to have to sell about it. He's going to have to go across the country, and so will Chrystia Freeland, deciding, is this a budget I can sell to people? And they're going to have to decide who they're selling it to. You know, I hear John talking about the millennials and Gen Z, and they're not likely to see much out of this. And Deb, I hear you talking about those folks who are saying, well, look, I'm a middle-class person. I'm not a Gen Z. I'm not a senior. What's in it for me? And I'm not seeing much in here for those folks at all. Ultimately, I think you're right. Obviously, with the polls right now, this is a question, as it always is in Canada, between the Conservatives and the Liberals. But I think if the Liberals can't make a comeback here, I think voters are going to have to take a look and say, okay, well, we're done with the Liberals. Who's next? Is it the Conservatives or is it the NDP?
John, I'll get you to respond to that, because my response, for what it's worth, Aaron, is that if that was the case, we would have seen movement in the NDP numbers already, and we've not.
Yeah, I think one of the other interesting things that'll come out of this, we haven't seen that movement, you're quite right, is that, you know, the Conservatives are going to be pressed now more so to come up with some answers. Because if you looked at what is their housing policy, what is their climate change policy, and a number of these other things, they haven't put too much on the radar screen. And I'm not sure that that is wise on their part to wait, you know, for as long as possible. But they're now going to be under more pressure to say, fine, the government has set out its agenda and its program and its spending priorities in a budget. You know, what would you do? And he will continue with the axe attacks and all of this. But I'm not sure in the end that that's going to give a lot of hope to those very same younger people who are the ones that are in the Conservative camp at the moment. They drifted over there from the Liberals, and he and Mr. Trudeau needs to get them back. And I'm not sure that if Mr. Poilievre doesn't come forward with some ideas that they'll stay there. I mean, that's why I say a year or more before the election is a long, long time in this business. And who knows, you know, what's going to happen in that period of time in terms of unforeseen events or just things getting better in the economy. I've said for a long time, Deb, that if the economy doesn't improve quite significantly and we can't feel it in terms of interest rates coming down, inflation down, employment up, and so on, then the government will be gone, because that's often what decides things more so than anything else, the state of the economy.
One a real quick last political question as we talk about the budget. Do you think his backbenchers and cabinet will be happy with this, Aaron?
Oh, that's a tough one. We know there's a lot of dissension in the ranks there. There are a lot of unhappy Liberals. There are some folks who are not going to run again. I doubt it. And I think the answer to that question will be back in their ridings. When they head back home at the end of this week, they'll hear from folks on the ground in their own community. And unless they hear a lot of sunshine and unicorns in response, I think the PMO is going to hear about it.
John, you know the value of caucus being behind you. Did this do it for them?
It's essential. And I think Aaron is right. I mean, I think you've got 6 or 8 weeks to sort of give it a college try and take it out there and say, look, there's a lot of things in here that could have been worse. The tax changes you heard about that didn't happen and that actually will provide some benefits, whether the I'll call it the smaller ones dollar wise, the contraception, the lunch program, or the big ones, which have to do with housing. And they'll have to see if people say, you know what, that housing promise may be as good as it gets, because nobody can materialize housing tomorrow morning. And so they're putting their best foot forward. So we'll have to see, and it'll take a few weeks to figure that out.
Aaron Morrison, longtime political strategist, principal at Morrison Comms, and John Tory, former mayor of Toronto. Thanks to both of you for joining me to break down the budget, both in nuts and bolts and politically. Really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
Coming up the break, we will hear from a political science professor about his perspective on the budget, and we'll get your calls as well. All that and more between now and 6 o'clock. Deb Hutton, this is The Rush.